got your Bibles, open up to John 10, verse 11. The title of my message today is Death Could Not Hold Him. How many of you know that Jesus laid his life down? Nobody made him lay it down. He chose to lay it down. That was a choice that he decided to make for all of us. So no matter how much they tried to plot against Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus had to lay his life down. In John 10, 11, it says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. In John 10, verse 15, it says, just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. And in John 10, 17, it says, the Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. See, that's a good thing. See, a lot of people can lay their own lives down for other people because there is no greater love than this than to lay down your life for another, but you can't take that life back. You can lay it down, but you can't take it back in a sense. Jesus was the only one who could take it back. He says, no one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want and also take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. Only the resurrection power can do that. He could lay it down and he could take it up. So we don't have to go through life wondering whether or not Jesus loves us. He showed it right there. He demonstrated in just three verses right there. Verse 11, 15, and 17 through 18. He shows it right there that he loves you that much to lay down his life and then take it back up again. He demonstrated the greatest sacrifice that our Savior can make. The world doesn't understand that it was powerless from actually making itself good and right with God again. Jesus made that happen. He made all of it happen. Mankind couldn't have fellowship without the Father, with the Father, unless perfection came and laid his life down just to be raised up again. Jesus made that happen. Poverty was the norm for some. No way out of that lifestyle until the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords made his dwelling among his people and fulfilled prophecy after prophecy. Jesus made that happen. Sickness and disease was still reigning in people's mortal body decade after decade if he didn't bear it in his own body. No other person could have done that but Jesus. We were powerless and we couldn't make ourselves good because there was no good in us. It was just sin. It was a choice that he made to redeem this decaying world, a world that was created by him and for him. Jesus, God in the flesh, experienced fear and anxiety on a level that most of us can't even comprehend. People think it's a sin to be anxious about something. I said, the Bible tells us not to be anxious, but Jesus experienced that for a little bit. So clearly he didn't sin. His trust was still in the Father, but he was going through some extreme anxiety while he was getting ready to go to the cross, to endure what he had to endure. As he took three disciples with him and told them to sit here while he goes and prays nearby. See, it's always good to have at least two or three friends that when you're getting ready to go through a battle, they're there with you. But we all know that they fell asleep. He went and prayed, came back, caught them sleeping, woke them up, went back and prayed again, came back, they were still sleeping. Then he went back again. In Matthew 26, it says this, he took Peter, Jacob, and John with him. However, an intense feeling of great sorrow plunged his soul into agony. And he said to them, my heart is overwhelmed and crushed with grief. It feels as though I'm dying. Stay here and keep watch with me. The entire weight of the world's sin was going to be placed on him. He was getting ready to be the very thing that he despised. He became sin even though he didn't know any sin so that we might become the righteousness of him. He became the very thing that he despised. Jesus, with his three disciples, shows that when you are going through something, it's best to have them there to help you get through those tough times, just like he was ready to go through. But in reality, they weren't ready for what was about to happen. Jesus knew everything would happen. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew that he was going to be arrested. He knew that they were going to falsely accuse him. He knew all those things were coming up. Giving himself up to be arrested. Knowing good and well, he could have just asked for angels to come and aid him and protect him. He couldn't speak. He couldn't say what he wanted to say, even though he shut them down every single day throughout his ministry. He couldn't talk. That's in his DNA. He's the Word made flesh. It's in his DNA to speak, and he couldn't speak. Peter's denial that he never knew Jesus. I mean, he ate with him, shared the gospel with Jesus, followed him everywhere, and then he denied him, being mocked and spit upon and beaten. He couldn't call on anyone, and he had to experience all of that in one night. That didn't happen over years. That happened like in sequence, event after event after event. Can you imagine all of that? He said yes to being king. He said yes to being betrayed. He said yes to being arrested. He said yes to being lied on. He said yes to being denied. He said yes to being mocked. He said yes to being whipped by the cat of nine tails that ripped the flesh off of his body. He said yes to being crucified. He said yes to dying for all of mankind. Death couldn't hold him. Couldn't hold him. Throughout the ministry and life of Jesus, he had demonstrated his power over death. Although the Bible only talks about three instances where Jesus raised people from the dead, those are notable miracles that have been earmarked for generations. In Luke, if you got your Bibles, turn over to chapter 7, verse 11. It says that soon afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. "Don't cry," he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearer stopped. "Young man," he said, "I tell you, get up." Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Jesus talked about how he was going to be betrayed. And handed over to be crucified. He talked about how he would be raised to life after 3 days. But see, Jesus didn't just talk the talk. He walked the walk. He demonstrated his power over death. This young man was held down by death, but when Jesus spoke to him, death had to obey life. Remember, he says, "My words are spirit and they are life." Death had to obey life. Debt, D-E-B-T, has to obey life. Sickness has to obey life. Disease has to obey life. Destruction has to obey life. Depression has to obey life. Jairus' daughter, little girl, wake up. It has to obey life. Death has to obey the life-giving words that come out of Jesus' mouth. Has to. But guess what? Death has to obey the life-giving words that come out of your mouth. See, that's the greatness of Jesus. He didn't just keep it all for himself. He gave it to you and I. He gave it to every born-again believer. See why they were trying to stop him? In Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives where? I would think some of y'all would get a little more excited. Let me get up here. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives where? Death couldn't hold him. That same Spirit that raised him from the dead lives in you. The doctor said, what? The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. That isn't just for your body going from mortal to immortal, from being changed in a twinkling of an eye. That's for now. It lives in you now. He lives in you now. Right next to whatever you got going wrong in your body lives in you right now. The greatest miracle is when you give your life to Jesus. And the Spirit of God lives in me, lives in you. And sometimes we can go around acting defeated. When he gave us the victory, lives in you. You got cancer in your body. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Amen. You got multiple sclerosis. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. You got type 1, type 2, type 18 diabetes. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. You got multiple personalities. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in all of y'all. Whew. God's Spirit that lives in you right now is for you right now. Just meditate on that for a good 3 months. When you go to sleep, the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in me. Everywhere you go, you get in the car, the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in me. I don't know what that does something to me. When I was laid in a hospital bed, I get a text from a powerful woman of God. This scripture right here. That's right. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in me, amen. Lives in you. That's kind of before my wife has sent me that song that praise. I thank God. And then it said, get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that. Come on. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus. What you going through right now? What's eating at your body right now? What's destroyed your lungs? What's destroyed your back? What's destroyed your mind? The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And death has to obey your words.
That's right.
Those life-giving words, it has to obey. And you don't back down. That's why Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do. The works that he did, we will do, and we will do even greater. Amen. He didn't point to anybody else. God didn't give you some knockoff. He didn't give you, you know what, Jesus, we had Jesus, you know, the Spirit of God, Jesus had 100%, but we only get about 2%. You know, even 2% would do it. 2% of the Holy Spirit will do it. 2% of the Spirit of God will do it. I remember one time when I was going, my boys and I, we like to drink milk. We drink milk by the gallons, man, I'm telling you. And we can put some milk back. And there was one time there wasn't any milk at the house, and this is when TJ was younger and stuff, and I went to Dylan's to go grab some milk, and I always get the red cap, whole milk. And I don't know, TJ call you? Did he call you? He called you. I said, TJ was with me. And then he called Kristen up and says, Mom, do we drink whole milk? Because she usually got the 2%. Or which one you got? I said, I know it wasn't skim milk. Because skim milk is just water lying about being milk. You got the whole milk. You get the whole milk, right? Okay. All right. Yeah, he was just checking. But see, here's the thing. We don't have to check. We got the Spirit of God. Not partial. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. He didn't give you something evil. People think, man, I just don't believe. I don't know about the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I can do it. It just might be weird. What if something evil comes up on me? I said, God doesn't give you anything evil. In James 1, it says this. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Whatever is good and perfect. It didn't say whatever is evil. And bad. Everything that is good and perfect comes down from the Father. God isn't going to give you something evil. He isn't going to give you something knocked off. He isn't going to give you 2% of what he had. He shares it all. Because Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. It's not partial. You got the real deal. You need to allow Romans 8:11 to come alive in you. Right. Jesus didn't give you a plastic sword. He didn't give you no little toy sword. The word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. Acts 2:24 says this in the Passion Translation, God destroyed the cords of death and raised him up because it was impossible for death's power to hold him prisoner. It was impossible for death's power to hold him prisoner. The Amplified Version says it was impossible for Jesus to be held in his death, in death's power. People, death was no match for our risen King. And we're the only one that serves a living God. Everyone else is dead. Everyone else, I said, doesn't even compare. Nobody died for their sins. They did a lot of good works that isn't going to amount to diddly squat. We serve a living King because it was based upon his works and his love and his grace and mercy. He is alive forevermore, and he holds the keys to death. Who created all things? Who created all things? God. And he did it by his word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. Even when it looks like Jesus was going to lose, he still won because it was God's plan. See, the religious leaders thought they had him. Just a few days they were crying out, Hosanna in the highest, and then a few days later, a day later, what have you, they're crying out, crucify him. They thought they had him. But where is that sting? Death, where is the sting? You know when the enemy is trying to throw everything at you and it doesn't even faze you? You know you got him. He's going to be tired out. You're going to be too expensive to deal with because it's going to cost everything he has. Because the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. In Romans 6, 9, it says this, we are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. Jesus reigns supreme over death once and for all. Death has lost his power and death has lost his sting. Jesus died once and he can never, ever die again. We serve a king that lives forever. The King of Kings. Because of Christ's resurrection, it completes our own. In 1 Corinthians 15:20, it says this, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. See, the thing is that Jesus was the tithe. He was the first fruits. We are the harvest. And we are part of that great harvest. And a seed cannot grow and cannot be raised up unless it first dies. I don't know if you ever seen seed come through concrete or something that was planted, just come up through the cracks. It don't matter if it has to go this way, and then there's a little seam right there and it grows up. If you pull that joker up, that has a long root. Concrete can't even stop a seed from growing. Death couldn't hold Jesus down. The soil, death, I mean, literally, death could not hold him down. Tried to put his cores on him, tried to keep him there. Couldn't. A seed has to die, but then it grows two ways, down and up. Some of you have read the word, and you've read the word, you've watered that word, but it hasn't died yet. But once it dies, it's going to take root inwardly in you. But not only inwardly, it's going to come out. So instead of fear coming out, it's going to be life-giving words. And death, depression, schizophrenia. If you're caught up in the LGBT, all that stuff, all that doesn't matter. As long as you continue to water that word, it's gonna die. And then what's gonna come out of you is gonna be life-giving word. And it has to obey you. It has to. That is a law. It has to obey you. Death couldn't hold Jesus, so it won't be able to hold those who belong to Jesus, who are in him. At the resurrection, they will be made alive again. We will be changed just like him. You know, that power was so strong that when he was resurrected, people in the graves came out and was walking in the city. That same power lives in you. Don't walk around defeated anymore. God doesn't go off of that woe is me attitude. You're not the victim anymore. You're the victor. What is that saying? To the victor gets the what? Spoils or something like that? Is that the right saying? I just be, you know, it's, you're going to get all the enemy spoils. All those who did you wrong. You ain't got to get yourself out of love. You keep yourself in love. They're going to be sowing into you. And I don't understand why I'm giving you this, but and I don't even like you. I don't even know why either, brother, but I'll take it. Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Callan, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. It's already a done deal. Jesus saw your whatever you were going through way back when, even before you were born, and he's already made provision for you. You just have to receive it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is anyone here dealing with some stomach problems, issues? You can give me a little, that's fine, or just give me a what's up. That's fine. That's good. Because the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Well, let's stand. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Your situation is turning. Your situation is turning. Hallelujah. You know you're supposed to be wearing flats. It can't be making me look shorter than I am. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your son, Jesus, and what he did on the cross, Lord. He took back the keys of death. And he allows us to have fellowship with the Father, and we thank you for that, Lord. And as they continue to meditate on your word, give them fresh revelation. Revelation that would just change their lives. And they can run with it. The Spirit of God, who raised you from the dead, lives in them. And we thank you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen,
amen.
And amen. Well, happy Easter. God bless you. Do they have a Easter egg hunt out there or something like that? Or you don't know? Okay. Don't know. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.